Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Luke chapter 5, verses 17 through 26. The Reverend Peter Ill is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 5th chapter, beginning at the 17th verse. On one of those days, as Jesus was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus, but finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, "Why do you question in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And immediately he rose up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home, glorifying God. And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen extraordinary things today. O Lord, have mercy on us." Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Miracles are impressive. They make the people who see them, and even the people who hear them read from Scripture and preached on, sit up and say, "Wow! And this miracle? This one is really unique, because this paralytic had some really good friends who not only wanted to get their friend before the Savior, but they went so far as to take his bed up on the roof, make a hole in the roof, and lower him down before Jesus, all without dropping him. Those are some friends. Jesus saw their faith, and then, uniquely, he absolved the paralyzed man. That's strange. Looking at the faith of the man's friends, then he absolved the man. And in that moment, that wasn't, strictly speaking, a miracle. It was an absolution. There was the forgiveness of sins. And that leads to the question, which is more significant? A miracle to make a paralyzed man walk, or the forgiveness of sins? You could say it a different way. Do you prefer first article gifts or second article gifts? Is physical health and well-being more significant, or is the forgiveness of sins more significant? Now, that's a trick question and not a fair one at all. Physical preservation, first article gifts, and the second article gift of justification shouldn't be pitted against each other. But it becomes clear in this reading that this man was brought to Jesus for healing, and Jesus gave him forgiveness. You might expect people to be surprised that Jesus, the powerful miracle worker, didn't immediately heal the man. And yet the Pharisees and the scribes question, "Who is this blasphemer? After all, only God can forgive sins." I'm not sure, though, what the rules were for who could perform miracles like this. But Jesus has something to show them. After making the point that you can see the results of a miracle while you cannot see the effects of the absolution, Jesus tells the man to get up, take up his bed, and go home. And that is what the man does. St. Luke says that amazement filled them all, and they glorified God and said, "We have seen extraordinary things today." What, though, would have they said if Jesus gave the man the absolution, forgiving his sins, and then did not heal his body? They would have seen something extraordinary, but would they have marveled the same way? We'll never know, and honestly, that's probably for the better. But that does challenge you and me. How often are we underwhelmed by the forgiveness of sins? Are there times when you think, or even say out loud, I know that my sins are forgiven, but I wish that my health was better, that my family was more stable, that life in the church had more harmony and fewer persecutors, and that the people around me did exactly what I wanted them to do without me having to tell them in an awkward conversation. The list goes on and on of those first article gifts that we want. And all of a sudden, justification and the forgiveness of sins and eternal life and salvation that is a free gift of God isn't everything that you want. It takes a back seat to the first article gifts that we still want. You and I want more. We are tempted again and again to look at the gifts of God and not be satisfied. We want just a little bit more. Forgiveness is good, but peace and prosperity and health, well, that would be better, right? That can quickly lead to a question. Jesus did an impressive miracle for the paralytic. I don't even need a big miracle, but a little bit more of God's care and God's preservation sure would be nice. Let's call this what it is. It is covetousness. Do not covet your neighbor's house, and do not covet your neighbor's wife, his manservant or his maidservant, his ox or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. And in that anything that belongs to your neighbor category, that also means that you should not covet your neighbor's peace or prosperity or health or place in life. After all, the God who forgives your sins fully and completely is also the God who opens his hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. Marvel in what the Lord has given to you. You have house and home, clothing and shoes, food and drink, and everything that you need to support this body and life. Instead of clamoring for more, instead of looking, even begging for more, rejoice in what the Lord has given to you. And repent of your selfishness and your self-centeredness and your desire for more. Repent of looking down your nose at the gift of salvation like you need more from the Lord than the forgiveness of your sins. The forgiveness of sins is not like the pair of socks that you unwrap at Christmas and you think, boy, I wish I would have gotten something else too. The Lord Jesus forgave the paralytic his sins. More personally, the Lord Jesus forgives you, your sins, all of them. Brothers and sisters in Christ, marvel in that. You have a great thing today, life and forgiveness and salvation. Even the day before a three-day weekend, a day that you might just be trying to get through, the Lord comes to you with a great gift. Leave here rejoicing. Your sins are forgiven. The one who has the authority to heal the paralytic has the authority to forgive sins, the paralytic's sins and your sins. That is true for you. Your sins are forgiven and atoned for. And in case you're underwhelmed by just hearing that promise, consider the cross, your Savior crucified for you. Feel the once damp spot on your forehead from your baptism, where you were marked with the sign of the cross of Christ, crucified for the forgiveness of sins. The day after tomorrow, go to the altar with joy to receive the body and blood of Christ, which was broken and shed for you for that precious forgiveness of sins. Rejoice, believers in Christ, because your sins are forgiven, your body is cared for, and your God loves and cares for you no matter what. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.